Can anybody sing out of tune? A few of you are got that special gift, all right, singing out of tune. Well, tonight we're going to talk about singing out of town, okay? Not singing out of tune, but singing out of town. So we're going to go to Psalm 137 in order to do that. And while you're turning there, some of you are familiar with the James Taylor song. I didn't realize how long ago it was written, 1968, but called Carolina in My Mind. He sings, he said, "I'm gone to Carolina in my mind." That's a song, if you went to UNC, you definitely heard that song a lot. But even just people who live in North Carolina, and that song is about James Taylor was brought up in North Carolina, and at the time when he wrote the song, he was actually in London doing some recording there, and he just had that memory of where he came from. And I see a lot of people in this room that didn't come from North Carolina, and you may have some memories of where you were brought up. I'm sorry if they didn't write a song about it, but that's you can go home and write one if you want to, but probably won't be as good as Carolina in My Mind. But that's kind of what was going on in Psalm 137. Not Carolina in my mind, but Jerusalem in my mind might be a good title for this psalm. And so I'm just going to read it. We're just going to look at one verse, but just to get the context here. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, 'Raise it to its very foundation.' O daughter of Babylon, you who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock." I just want us to look this evening at verse 4. You're probably glad we're not going to speak on verse 9. I'm glad we're not going to speak on verse 9. Imprecatory psalms is some of the psalms we find things that we don't really understand why they would sing or pray in such a way. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. That's for another conversation. But I do want us to think a little bit about verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I want us to consider this from two perspectives. First of all, the actual historical perspective of which the psalm was written. That's the perspective of the Israelites' problem. And then I want us to talk about the Christian's provision in making an application of this psalm in our devotional thought tonight. So we'll talk about the Israelite of that day and the Christian of today. So first of all, the Israelites' problem, and as we've seen here in the psalm, is Israelites at this time, they were sojourners and pilgrims, we might say, in Babylon, a foreign land. They were living there without citizenship. They had been taken in exile. God had allowed that and actually purposed that because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against Him. And they had been taken away. They were pilgrims, as it were. They were living as strangers in this land. They didn't know the language. They didn't know the culture. They didn't know the people. And that's where they found themselves. And they were asked a favor. The favor was, sing us one of the songs of Zion. It probably wasn't asked as a favor. It's probably a command of some type, maybe done in jest, maybe in mocking, maybe true curiosity. But whatever, we see that the response of the Israelites was, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And he goes on, the psalmist goes on to say, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I forget you, Jerusalem, then I don't even want to remember how to play this harp. And I want my tongue to stick to the roof of my mouth. I don't even want to be able to sing about anything if I can't sing about you, Jerusalem. You see, their song was anchored to an earthly place. Their song was anchored to an earthly place, Jerusalem, Zion, that hill there in Jerusalem, and often the whole city would be referred to as Zion. And their thought was, how can we sing the Lord's song? How can we sing it here in this foreign land? We're out of town. They were away from their land. They were away from their city. They were away from their temple. And you know, not only could they not sing audibly, but I suggest they didn't even have a song in their heart. They didn't have the heart to sing. You know, it was interesting to me as I looked through the Old Testament and considered this thought of the song of the Lord. What is the Lord's song? Well, of course, I can't know precisely what they were thinking of then. But as I look through the Scripture, let me just mention a couple of the times we see the Lord's song referred to. In Exodus 15:1, we read that Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And that song was when they had come through the Red Sea, miraculously. So that was a song of triumph. That was a theme of their song. In 2 Samuel 22, in verse 1, we read that then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. That was a song of deliverance. There on the other side of the Red Sea, they sang, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. A song of triumph, and David, a song of deliverance. One other one that I'll mention, 2 Chronicles 29:27. We read that Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar, and when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So here we have the theme being the offering of sacrifices. Now, many times we don't have it told us exactly what the theme is. Of course, many times they were songs of praise to God for His marvelous works, for who He is, His character, and His work, and His great triumph, and His deliverance of His people, and would be associated with their worship. But you know what? As they were asked to sing the Lord's song, and to sing a song, as it were, of triumph, they were defeated. They had been defeated. They couldn't sing out of their hearts a song of triumph. And then they're asked to sing a song of deliverance. Well, they were in bondage. Why, how can they sing the song of the Lord? They're in bondage. And then maybe they thought, well, we could sing a song of an offering of sacrifices. No, we can't sing that. We're separated from the place that God said He would place His name, and that is where we are to offer the sacrifices, on the altar of the temple. But the temple has been destroyed, and we've been taken away, and we're many miles away from the prescribed place of worship. You see, there was nothing in those people that could enable them to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. They might could sing out of tune, but they couldn't sing out of town. They couldn't do it. It was nothing there. As much as they would want to do it, they were incapable. Well, that brings us to the Christian's provision. The Christian's provision. You know, as Christ ones, we're also living as sojourners, aren't we? We read in 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. That's the way that Peter addresses his readers and that the Spirit of God addresses us as believers today. We are sojourners. Now, we have citizenship in a nation, some of us here, most of us, citizenship in the United States of America. At least one is working on it. But, you know, that's not our primary citizenship. When it comes to this world system, we don't have a citizenship here. You can't have dual citizenship with this world system and the heavenly citizenship that Philippians 3:20 says about, for our citizenship is in heaven. Now, you can have citizenship in a nation, but not with the world system. You see, so we're in this world without citizenship. We don't belong here. We are pilgrims, as Peter refers to us. We're living as strangers. We don't fit in here. We're different. We don't speak the same language, or we shouldn't. We're not motivated by the same things, or we shouldn't be. We're temporary residents here, like the ones in Hebrews 11, the ones who were declaring plainly by their actions that they were seeking a homeland. They desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You know, we're out of town, by the way. This isn't our home. This isn't the city that God has prepared for us. As wonderful as the United States of America is, it's not our true home. Our song, while their song was anchored to a place, an earthly place, our song is anchored to an eternal person. Theirs was anchored to an earthly place, Jerusalem. Ours is anchored to an eternal person, Jesus. And we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, that we're to be filled with the Spirit. And part of the result of that is that we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our song, while we're out of town and once we're in town, is always going to be anchored in an eternal person, the Lord Jesus. That's where it should be anchored. That's where it should be anchored. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In Ephesians, Paul says that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And that song can and should overflow out of our hearts, but it's got to be in our heart first. We're just singing from our diaphragm and with our mouths and our tongues and our vocal cords. That's good. That's great. Sometimes it's good. It depends on if we're singing in tune or out of tune. But it's still a joyful noise to the Lord. But if it's coming from our heart, when our heart is connected and we are abiding in the Lord Jesus. You know, I thought it was interesting that our song is also themed around those same three themes. Around victory. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can sing a song of triumph. And you might say, I'm feeling kind of defeated today. I'll tell you that in Christ you're more than a conqueror. It's not how you feel. And it's not even the defeat that you suffer today or the defeats that you suffered today. We are more than conquerors in Christ. He's the one that's going to do the victoring. He's the one that's going to do the triumphing. And then there's that deliverance theme. Colossians 1:13. We read that He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His love. The Son of His love, excuse me. The Son of His love, the Lord Jesus. He's the theme of our song. We've been delivered. We've been transferred into a different kingdom from darkness to love. That's our experience. That's the reality of where we stand. We can sing a song of deliverance. Even when we're out of town, even when we're in a foreign land, in a place that we don't really belong. And then we can sing a song of offering sacrifice. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5 tell us that we are coming to Him, the Lord Jesus, as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. That's the one in whom our song is anchored. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's anchored in Him. We can sing a song of offering up sacrifices. Holy priest, bringing these acceptable sacrifices to God. And while they didn't have anything in them that would enable them to sing a song out of town, we do, don't we? Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, sent by God the Father and God the Son, is indwelling us as believers and empowering us, and He has put a new song in our hearts and a new song in our mouths. And whether we can carry a tune in a bucket or we can't, we can have a song. And maybe that song is best heard silently. I don't think anybody sings out of tune in their head. I don't think so. And I really hope we don't sing out of tune in our hearts, okay? So that's what God is hearing. And that's what we're bringing before Him. So, yes, we're a long way from home. Now, we are seated in the heavenlies, okay? So I don't want to leave us hanging on that. But by the same token, we're living down here as a sojourner and a pilgrim. We're a long way from home. We're foreigners. But He has put a new song in our hearts and in our minds and in our mouths. And here's my challenge to you tonight. Never let the devil or this world system or your own flesh steal your song. Don't let them do it. You sing in this foreign land. And what a testimony that is. Of whether we sing audibly, and that's a beautiful testimony. Walk in a store singing, if you can sing. That can be a beautiful testimony. The words that you're singing, even if you can't sing, quoting the words. Or even if you just come in with a song in your heart, and that's evidence. Hey, sometimes there's sad songs. I understand that. That's okay. A sad song's all right, too. As long as that song is anchored in the eternal person of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the song that You've given to us. Lord, we've been able to sing a song together tonight. Lord, we're a singing people. We love to sing, many of us. And Father, probably all of us at least enjoy music. And we appreciate those who were able to write songs. We thank You for the songbook of the Jewish people. Lord, we thank You for the book of Psalms. And we think about those men and women and young people and boys and girls who many years ago sat there and they had hung their harps up. They said, we can't sing here. We don't have anything to sing about. And Lord, we can understand that to some degree and we can sympathize with them and we don't judge them because they didn't have the Holy Spirit living within them like we do. Lord, if anything, they could judge us. And we pray that You will help us to have that song, a song anchored in the Lord Jesus, a song of triumph, a song of deliverance, a song of offering up sacrifices of praise and worship to You for who You are. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for Him. May He be the song in our hearts, and may we share that with others. Father, protect us that it won't be stolen away. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. May the Lord give you that song and sing it out. Make a joyful noise to the Lord.